Public News Service Daily Newscast for June the 26th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Spurred on by recent anti-racism protests around the nation, today the U.S. House is voting to make the District of Columbia the 51st state, our Diane Bernard reports.
The historic vote is the first on the issue since 1993 and seeks to correct what is seen as a long-time injustice rooted in racism, according to Monica Hopkins with the ACLU of D.C. She points out that the 700,000 mostly black residents have never had voting representation in Congress. At the same time, Congress has complete authority over the district and can even veto city council moves, as when President Donald Trump ordered the National Guard to dominate recent protesters at the White House against the D.C. mayor's wishes.
The entire nation focusing in on these protests in D.C. and how, you know, the Trump administration came down with a heavy hand really highlighted the inequities of living without representation.
The bill is likely to pass the House, but faces opposition from Senate Republicans who claim the district is too corrupt and financially dependent on the federal government to be a state. White House officials have said the president would veto the legislation if it reaches his desk.
D.C. residents pay the highest federal taxes per capita in the U.S., according to the D.C. Statehood Commission. President Trump has lost significant ground in six battleground states that clinched the Electoral College victory in 2016, that according to the New York Times Siena College survey, with Joseph Biden opening a double-digit lead in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The Times reports that Trump's once commanding advantage among white voters has nearly vanished. Mr. Biden now has a 21% lead among white college graduates, and the president is losing among white voters in three northern battleground states, not by as much, but he won those states by nearly 10 points in 2016. Consumer advocates now expressing concerns over the Trump administration's choice to lead the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
The nominee, Nancy Beck, is a longtime lobbyist for the American Chemistry Council. Ed Mrzewinski with the Arizona Public Interest Research Group says past affiliations make her a poor choice for the consumer agency.
Nancy Beck has worked to deregulate chemicals, not to protect people. She came to Washington 3 or 4 years ago and was embedded at the EPA. She has been part of the deregulatory apparatus that is trying to take away consumer and environmental protections.
White House officials point to Beck's experience touting her PhD in toxicology and more than 20 years of experience in risk management. Both Arizona Senators, Democrat Kyrsten Sinema, and Republican Martha McSally have so far declined to say how they plan to vote. Mark Richardson reporting.
This is PNS. Many men believe they are less vulnerable to COVID-19, and that has consequences for how safe they really are during this pandemic. A new survey conducted by the U.S. and U.K. finds women are more likely to wear face masks than men are. Family medicine physician Scott Itano with Kaiser Permanente Washington says the issue is what he calls toxic masculinity.
They're less likely to be vulnerable or show signs of weakness. And I think wearing masks and seeking care from a doctor to them feels like showing a sign of weakness or being vulnerable.
This mindset could come at a high cost. According to Washington State Department of Health data, 54% of COVID-19 related deaths have been men. Starting today, face masks are required in public in Washington State. The Ohio Supreme Court has greenlighted a fast-track process that gives homes to developers but fails to compensate owners and taxpayers.
Three justices joined the majority opinion but declined to comment on the constitutional issues in the case involving what are known as administrative foreclosures. The court said it would not stop the process because the law governing these procedures was not patently and unambiguously unconstitutional. Former Ohio Attorney General Mark Dinn represented Elliot Feltner in the case, a Cleveland landowner whose foreclosed property went to a land bank instead of a sheriff's sale.
They dismissed it on very narrow procedural grounds. We kind of played that round of this fight to a draw. But at least two of the judges, including the Chief Justice, in the written opinion, really invites us to take a look at this taking issue.
Dinn says he is litigating similar issues, one in Montgomery County and one in Cuyahoga County. Administrative foreclosures send abandoned properties to a county's board of revision. This story was produced with original reporting from Lucia Walinchis for Ion Ohio, the Ohio Center for Investigative Journalism. It is funded in part by the Ohio News Media Foundation and the George Gunn Foundation and produced in association with Media in the Public Interest.
And finally, our Eric Tegenoff explains Oregon stands out on the West Coast for the way its voting districts are drawn.
Unlike neighbors California, Idaho, and Washington, redistricting in Oregon is a political process decided by the party in power. The threat of gerrymandering is high. Executive Director of Common Cause Oregon, Kate Titus, says politicians typically draw districts behind closed doors using elaborate data.
If you move that line over one block and include this block in this district instead of that district, how's it going to affect their political power? So that sophisticated analysis is happening. It's just not open to the public.
Titus says a coalition of groups is looking to change that. Signatures are being collected for an initiative to create an independent, nonpartisan redistricting commission.
Districts are drawn once a decade, and that happens next year using the 2020 census data. This is Mike Clifford, hoping you are keeping a safe distance. And thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We're member and we're listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.